Maybe.
There it is.
Everyone watching on Facebook Live is going, what are they doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Bacon Smiles podcast. As always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Yes!
Number 64.
64. 64 episodes have gone by, just flown by over the past few years.
Do we qualify for the senior discount?
Yes, we are AARP members with our podcast. So let's just jump right into this. So what we're going to go over this time is, as I talked about in the previous podcast, I had a couple of ministry-related engagements over the past few weeks. So I spoke at St. Francis of Assisi Parish in, I should say, church in South Windsor. Okay. The parish is merged of St. Francis of Assisi and St. Margaret Mary. And I spoke to their confirmation candidates and parents, which was fun.
Yeah.
So I'll go over that. This past weekend, I had a confirmation retreat that I ran for St. Catherine of Siena in Riverside, Connecticut. Like almost 80 kids.
Wow.
So it was really cool.
Good amount.
Yeah, it was awesome. Long day, you know, but we'll get into it. And then I wanted to talk about, we got, St. Teresa of Calcutta has their annual winter retreat coming up.
Right.
And I wanted to kind of talk about winter retreats of years gone by, and then kind of do a little pitch for those of who don't know what it's about.
Sure.
So just kind of like churn up some interest in it. And then you got music.
Absolutely.
And St. Berard and Companions is Saint of the Day. Mark 1, 40 through 45 is the reading. And then you got News of the Weird.
Absolutely. That's awesome. A good one, too.
Yeah. So South Windsor, apparently some of the topics were kind of brought up by the parents of what they wanted to get a little more information on. And one of those was kind of science versus faith and how the Catholic Church approaches it. And does the Catholic Church just shun away science, or is it does it embrace it, and that kind of stuff? So that's what I spoke about, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And I had just I knew a bunch of stuff, but then I kind of like drilled down on some of the facts and kind of got some really cool little tidbits on where the church stands, you know, scientifically. And it's awesome to find out certain things. Like, have you ever heard of the term a recessive or dominant gene?
Yes.
Fun fact, that was actually, so the father of genetics was actually a Catholic priest.
Cool.
Yeah, so he was the first one to kind of coin those terms, where in our genealogy, you know, what is a recessive gene and what is a dominant gene. And so he was a Catholic priest, you know. And also, there's the whole thing with the Big Bang Theory, where it's like, oh, well, the Big Bang Theory can't have happened because this. Well, it's like, well, if God had his hands in it, then absolutely could happen.
Right.
And so one of the two people kind of credited with the first theory of the expanding universe and the Big Bang Theory, also a Catholic priest, worked very closely with Albert Einstein. And so it just because, you know, these scientific theories come out doesn't somehow disprove God. There is no scientific evidence to disprove God's existence. There's just tons and tons of evidence of intelligent design all around us. And so that's what I wanted to put into easy, consumable terms as best as I could to kind of, you know, talk with the parents and the teens for, you know, a 2-hour period. So I can't, you know, get into everything, but I can try to do little, you know, tidbits and little seeds planted where it's like, all I'm trying to do is open your minds a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the second I'm like, well, look at this, and, you know, that. And it's like, well, that could happen, or blah, 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 you know. And so really cool activity that I've done in the past and I did at this event was you take a box of Legos and you shake it around. And I pass it around. Every single one, there's like 100 people there. Every single person took that shoebox and shook it. And it got all passed around. I was like, well, guys, so on the theory of randomness that we all seem to agree on, right? And this, the world seems to run on this idea that without, you know, God, and, you know, in the world where God doesn't exist, everything is random. Mm-hmm. So it's the theory of randomness. So everything, you know, theory of randomness, I have everything in this box that I need to build a house of Legos. Mm-hmm. There are windows, there are doors, there are tons of blocks. So by shaking it around, theory of randomness, I'm going to dump out a house at the end. And so it gets all the way back up to me. And I shake it a little bit and I ask for a volunteer from the group. This girl comes up and I'm like, so what do you think? You think there's going to be a house in there? She's like, I don't know. She shakes it. She's like, I don't know. And dumps it on the floor.
Legos. All over the place.
Yeah. Legos everywhere. None of them stuck together. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, just... That's... that's not how it works. Meticulous design. Meticulousness is what makes, you know, building a house of Legos. When you buy one of those kits, you know, if you're going to build a Transformer out of Legos or whatever. Like, it takes instruction, intelligent design. That's what made us, God, intelligent design. So that's where I kind of got into that part of it. To just kind of utilize easy to understand things where it's all I'm trying to do is open the conversation. Because what's happened in not all education systems or just the way things are pitched now and the way that just the science has kind of just been skewed in the sense where it's like, this is what's happened. This, we can prove all this stuff. And it's like, no, you can't. Like, you can't prove how evolution happened, right? There's just, you can prove that there were things that don't exist anymore, based on fossils and skeletal and archaeological digs and all that kind of stuff. But you can't, like, there's no video footage. There's no, and say, this is what happened, you know? And so you got to try to use, rational mind and say, well, how could we go from two cells in water to this?
Yeah.
You know, this ruggedly handsome man who sits before you. I said that at the speaking engagement.
Yeah.
When this lady in the front row just starts laughing. I'm like, hey, I'm in shape.
Yeah.
It's just round.
Right.
But no, so it's just about trying to you know, chip away a little bit at that that mentality that, oh, I already know everything. Mm-hmm. Especially with teenagers.
Yeah.
They get in their mind, it's like, oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about, or you know, as a youth minister, I'm supposed to say this, you know, like, oh, do you really believe that? Yeah, I really believe that God exists. And I really believe that throughout evolution, God had his hands in everything. Yeah. That's, you can't have what we have without it being intelligent design. So that, yes, that is my belief. That is my knowledge. So the just trying to just chip away at that little bit where it's like with teenagers nowadays and kind of the way that they're being taught is that everything can happen from random. And I love the questioning. I love it because I'm not asking anyone to blindly follow anything. You should be questioning. You should be getting in there and going, well, why do we believe this? And what if this? What if that? prove it to me. Mm-hmm. Show me something. And so that's what I'm just trying to chip away a little bit at the, nope, science has mm-hmm. disproven this, and the church is anti-science. I'm just trying to chip away at that mentality mm-hmm. and say, no, the church is not anti-science. Some of the biggest scientific breakthroughs in world history have been done by the church. Mm-hmm.
And I read the Catholic Church also helped create the first universities, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that higher education could be available for
everyone.
The public.
Yeah. Yeah, for everyone. To make it, to, and also to be a open, free exchange of ideas and learning. Mm-hmm. Not to be stifled out. Mm-hmm. Not to be, no, shut that down. No, that goes against what we have been teaching. So no, don't teach that. The Catholic Church has never mm-hmm. said that, ever. They want breakthroughs because they want to continue to prove mm-hmm. God's existence. They want to continue to strengthen their faith. Because here's the thing. If I'm wrong, mm-hmm. right? Let's say I'm wrong. God doesn't exist, right? I want to know that.
Right.
I would absolutely want to know. So always find more knowledge, find more evidence to God's existence, or try to prove me wrong. Like, mm-hmm. For me, like, I'm going to try to prove it wrong. And the more I look and the more... then the more I know that God's mm-hmm. there. And so that's where it's like, I'm coming from a passionate believer standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm also coming from a point where it's like, well, when I was your age, I didn't believe any of this. So I know where you're at. And so I'm going to try to come at you in a little bit of a way to try to break through that barrier of, this guy just wants to talk about Jesus, so he doesn't know anything.
Right.
So it was an awesome experience, and I played games with him, of course, because that's what I do. We did the pass M&M on mm-hmm. a spoon game.
Yes.
And so it was so funny because, there was the way it always works with parent teen night. It'd be like a row of parents, and then in front of them's a row of teenagers mm-hmm. so that they could sit with their friends, and their parents were behind them. And this, like, a group of four or five boys were like, oh, this is silly. I don't want to do this. Why are we doing this? This is silly. And I said, that's all well and good, but your parents are dominating you right now. Because the parents were in it, and they were ready.
Right.
They were ready to go. They were competing. And so, like, it was just funny, because then all of a sudden, the boys were like, oh, No, we're not going to be beat by our parents. So they right. get into it and do it. And then at the end, I had a few of the young people come up and say, thank you so much for sharing that. It's really awesome for you to be able to kind of, like, share that knowledge, because not a lot of people know about, like, the discoveries that the Catholic Church yeah. has, and the fact that so many of those discoveries were by Catholic priests. So these are, like, real believers. It's not like the non-practicing Catholics right. are the ones who came up with this. It's like, no, these were priests. Mm-hmm. You know, you even look at someone like Copernicus. It is believed that he became a priest later in life. So, like, father of astronomy. You know, the first one to realize that the Earth was not the center of the universe. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so there's a major discovery. Mm. Anyway, I could talk about this all night. But yeah, so that went really well. And a bunch of the kids came up afterwards and were like, thanks so much for sharing. One of the parents was like, I've been to a lot of parent events and a lot of church yeah. things. And she's like, this was great. Mm-hmm. You know, just sharing and playing and stuff like that. And it felt good to be able to, you know, put on a night like that, and just, you know, God gave me the words to say, and God, you know, put me where I needed to be, you know, and it's just, it's an awesome feeling to see people connect with something like that, because every one of them probably went there that night and was like, another church night thing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It was so fun because halfway through the event, when they're playing the game, everyone's laughing and having a great time. I'm like, hey, 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 you guys keep it down. This is a church event.
Right. What are you guys doing having fun?
And so it was just great. It was just an awesome night, and it went really, really well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Our friend Jackie is watching on Facebook Live, and I just saw a comment on that she left, which is a really good topic. She asked about the movie The Case for Christ. Have you seen that?
I have watched a lot of it. I haven't seen the end yet. I know how it ends. but it's actually, for me, it's like a really rough watch.
Really?
Have you seen it?
I just picked it up. It was on sale over at Kmart.
Awesome.
Being that they're closing in a couple months. So I grabbed it. Yeah.
It's a really rough watch for me because it's like so... he's married, has a child, and he is an angry atheist in the sense where he is so stubborn in his I don't believe in, because he's an investigative reporter, he starts delving in and saying, like, this is how I'm going to prove that God doesn't exist and that Jesus never existed and all you followers of Christ don't know what you're talking about. And so, yeah, if you're questioning or if you it's a really good in-depth way, you know, it shows that he did a really in-depth
and it's based on a true investigation.
Yeah. So it's a the Lee Strobel. He is an author. He was a published journalist before all of this, but he has written, I think, The Case for Christ is a book series, actually, not just one book. I could be wrong, but I think I've seen more than one book on it. But yeah, so he went out to try to discredit it because basically something happened where his wife all of a sudden started believing, and someone invited her to church, and she started wanting to raise their child Christian. And so he got very angry and wanted to disprove it. And so like I said, that's what makes it like really awkward for me, like watching it. It's like a hard watch because he is so angry about it, like saying that he was losing his wife to a fairy tale and stuff like that. So it's a very tough, it's a tough watch for me anyway. Just because I couldn't imagine like struggling with my wife and my daughter with something like that. Like essentially he just distances himself from them as they're finding this awesome thing, and because she all of a sudden is starting to feel fulfilled and he is feeling more and more pushed away. You know, and just so anyway, watch it because it's been good. It's long though, so
really?
Yeah. And I can't remember why. So I was watching it late at night, and I was like starting to fall asleep. So I stopped it because I'm not paying attention,
right?
And so I was like, yeah, I'll watch this again when I'm more alert and awake. And I just haven't gotten back to it, but it's on Netflix now, so. If you have Netflix, check it out, Case for Christ, because...
We'll have to have a movie night.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
but no, yeah, so yeah. That's a great topic. What was I going to? Oh, confirmation retreat.
Confirmation retreat. Went to retreat.
What?
I was just confirming what you were saying.
Yeah. So the one in St. Catherine of Siena in Riverside, Connecticut... went really awesome as well. Very large group, more than I would normally do at once for a confirmation retreat, simply because it becomes hectic. And so it was a long day. It was a 6-hour retreat, and there, it's about 2 hours away. So it was a long day. but yeah, it went really well. I did a very similar talk on the, you know, existence of God and intelligent design and stuff like that. But then I also did the games that I normally do, start them off with like fruit basket and get them moving and stuff like that. one of the coolest activities that I've started incorporating in my confirmation retreats is a couple of like team building, team task things. And one of them is the paper tower, where you give everyone like 10 or 12, 15 sheets of paper and one roll of tape, you know, scotch tape, mm-hmm. and say the team with the tallest tower wins. It has to be freestanding. You can't tape it to the table. You can't have it leaning against the wall or whatever. And it just shows, like, who in the group, you know, is going to participate and who's not. And it also gets a little bit of team building, and you're striving for a goal. And it's important qualities, I think. One of the groups, like, it is one of the tallest towers I've ever seen. It was 90 inches tall. So we're talking ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And they had built it on the table. And so I'm like standing on a ladder with a tape measure, you know, to measure it. And it's just like, wow, how did you, you know, it's just unbelievable when you think about it, because it's just regular paper. Mm-hmm. And they did an awesome job. And some of the other ones, they were like the two teams tied in second with like 86 inches tall. Like, this, we're talking like over 6-7 feet tall, mm-hmm. you know, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway, that I just really like that activity. Also, you know, just kind of played with them, you know, like games, and did sing off, and the minute to win it Oreo game, where you put an Oreo on your forehead, yep. and have to get down to eat it. It was just great. The deacon, who was like the religious ed director down there, was awesome. He's the one who invited me down. I did their family and faith program mm-hmm. last year, and so that's what they asked me to come back and do their confirmation retreat this year. And it was an awesome day, in the sense where being able to, you know, spend the day trying to strengthen the relationship with Christ with all these teenagers. And it was another awesome opportunity to have discussion. Mm. And again, where it's like you're trying to explain to teenagers that questioning the existence of God and questioning why we believe what we believe is incredibly important. And me sharing my story, where you know, me losing a friend when I was in high school and what that meant, but also like the death of my grandfather and where I was, you know, faith-wise, but also like just as a teenager who was like a terrible human being, all those things, like, kind of leading up and opening the window to God and just saying, like, this could be a thing, like, you know, all, everything, just sharing about how I almost got kicked out of the religious ed program and all that stuff. So it's like I'm sharing all this stuff, and so it was really awesome when I'm sharing all these things. And I can tell, like, that it's connecting. You know, like, the room is quiet. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, over 70 teenagers there. Like, in the room to be quiet. You know? Like, because when we're doing an activity and stuff like that, it's 70 teenagers.
Yeah.
Trying to get them to follow instructions is difficult.
Sometimes trying to get 3 of them to follow instructions is a challenge. You know?
So, you know, when doing activities and doing the projects and stuff like that, yeah, it's really tough. But when, like, when I'm sharing, you know, what God wants me to share in that moment, it just connects. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's like, oh, God is so present in this moment, mm-hmm. and I can feel it, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, it gets me all pumped, and I'm just like, you guys gotta listen. Yeah. It's so, it was just, it was an awesome experience because as it was going on, I'm like, this is rough. You know, so many young people and there's like talking over here and talking over there. My ADD is going crazy. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, is this connecting? Is this, you know, and then at the end, like, I'm like, that was a really great day, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Like, in the moment, I'm like, I don't know how this is going, you know? And that's the way I am all the time, where it's like, did this go? Did that go? And then at the end, I'm like, you know, I just got to remember, like, at the beginning, I'm praying, like, God, take over. This mm-hmm. is not my day. This is your day. This is not about me. It's not the Steve show. The story of my life is not meant for them to relate to me, to be me, or mm-hmm. feel sorry for me, or empathize with me. It's about being pointing up that mm-hmm. it's God. Like, this is what God has used me for. Like, not anything about, like, making me better than them or making mm-hmm. something to them to want to be me. Like, it's, no, get close to God because God can do these amazing things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, look from where I was to where I am now. And that's because of God. And, like, let him in.
Right.
And so that's where it's like, okay, at the end of the day, like, I hope I planted a seed. And mm-hmm. I know I say this all the time. I've probably said it 150 times on the podcast. Vicky Rispoli used to always, and she was my original youth minister, director of youth ministry at St. Bartholomew's for a very long time. And she always said in youth ministry, as a youth minister, if you bring one young person closer to God in their relationship, closer to Jesus, it makes everything else worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the tough times, it makes everything worth it. Then you did your job. Make one kid's relationship with Jesus better than you did your job. Just mm-hmm. one over all the years. Just one. So that's what, you know, that's what we're striving for.
Right.
And so that's where it's like sharing God's work in my life is meant to strengthen their relationship and show them what's possible when you just say yes. Oh, maybe, just a little bit. Yeah, maybe I should think about things a little bit differently. Like, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. but that also brings to the next topic with winter retreat.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and talking about Vicky and when we were going to winter retreats. Yeah. You think about the fact that how many of us, like, how many young people did that one weekend retreat
mm-hmm.
change their overall outlook on faith of it, not just being this thing that you do at church.
Mm-hmm.
That faith is more. Faith is life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 24/7 thing. It's not 1 hour on Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that's the way that it was for me. That's the way that going on winter retreat, being part of the planning team and stuff like that, changed my perspective on what real faith was because of the prayer experiences, because of the closeness, seeing other people's relationship with God and how mine could be different. And everyone has a different relationship with God, but you can look at it and go, oh, okay. You know, that's a way to experience God. This is a way to pray. This is a way to strengthen your community in faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you think about the morning prayers and the wake-ups and stuff like that, like Brett running down the hallway to the Rocky theme song.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a couple of years ago, but yeah, that was funny.
Just like how many things I can remember, because of course this is how old I am. Whose Line Is It Anyway? It was this huge popular show when I was in high school, and we did like TV themed winter retreat. And one of the things we did, Whose Line Is It Anyway? And we all had to, like, play something. And I just remember James Blackwell being, his card said, "The Pope in the Pope Mobile." And so he was, like, scooting around and waving and, like, doing the mime of, like, the bubble of the old Pope Mobile. But, like, that kind of stuff where it's, like, you know, faith can be silly, and mm-hmm. it can be, these retreats can be silly and still build your relationship and stuff like that. What's a memory you have?
So I remember pretty much freshman year in high school being the only one in my class that went on retreat. One of the people on team approached me and said, "Hey, man," you know, I didn't really have a conversation mm-hmm. with him beforehand, but he just kind of cornered me and said, "Hey, man, you got to..."
Cornered you. Yeah. "Listen, you're going.
you got to go on retreat." So I was like, "All right, you're much taller than me. I will go." And I was a little intimidated, but it really brought me out of my shell, and it was really, really a lot of fun to be a part of, and just to be able to open up and share with a group that, you know, openly. And right after September 11th, because I was a freshman September when New York City was attacked. So a lot of my struggles that I went through in high school were just trying to, you know, struggle with what's going on socially in the world and politically.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy time.
Right. But to be able to be pulled into something like that, into such a tight-knit community.
Yeah.
At our church,
yeah,
was I give that a lot of credit, because that helped me a lot. Where on days where I was just reading the newspaper and going, "What's going on?" It gave mm-hmm. me something to cling to.
Well, that, and you know, a part of my story is you know, Matt Gruder passing away mm-hmm. My junior year, which was 2001. So that next fall, you know, September 11th happened. But part of my story is that without being a peer minister and without having that support, mm-hmm. where would I be?
Yeah.
You know? And so I think about, you know, winter retreat and the bonds that we formed, and also peer ministry and stuff like that. But yeah, having that support structure, people who genuinely care about you mm-hmm. is a huge thing. And that's where it's like, winter retreat has always been, I mean, it's like a catchphrase now, judgment-free zone.
Yeah.
But it's always been that. It's always been a weekend away from all the nonsense mm-hmm. that is high school. It's a weekend where you can just go
mm-hmm.
and spend time with people who also want to get away and experience something real. Because so much of high school is not real.
Right. And I tell my students and the teens that I work with on team pretty often, one of the coolest things for me, especially coming from high school where there were a lot of cliques,
mm-hmm.
is seeing high schoolers just hanging out, laughing, enjoying each other's company.
Yeah.
In a clique-free zone. There's no cliques. And you yeah. can see these kids that it normally wouldn't hang out together in high school.
Yeah.
Hanging out in a cafeteria or, absolutely. You know, on a gymnasium floor and just laughing and
yeah.
and talking with each other.
And having fun.
Yeah.
And so it's an awesome way to just get away. And when I say, like, how much of high school is not real, it's not that I'm trying to say that, like, high school is not valuable. Of course right. high school is valuable. And, yeah, you can make real friendships. But how many people in high school are their true, genuine selves mm-hmm. is what I mean. Like, how many people get up every morning and go, "I'm going to be 100% me today"?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one. Very few. But it's that ability to truly be yourself on winter retreat mm-hmm. and just experience a weekend of doing that. And that's how you can get closer to God mm-hmm. and experience God, because you're not putting so much effort into being what you think other people want you to be.
Mm-hmm.
You're just putting, your effort is being put into prayer. Your effort is being put into faith. and building community. That's where your effort's going. You're no longer just focusing on trying to say the right thing, do the right thing, dress the certain way, putting on makeup this way, whatever, wearing the cleanest sneakers, nicest jeans, nicest shirt, whatever. You're not focused on that. You're focused on building community and faith. And that's where you can just put all the other stuff aside and strive towards God. Whether or not you actually notice that you're doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, we've had teens going on retreat have like pajama parties, you know, just hanging out in onesies and sweatpants. And they plan it ahead of time. They go, all right, I'm going to wear this. What are you going to wear? And it's fun. It's really funny.
Yeah. It's just an amazing thing. The room of dudes a few years back at St. Thomas.
Yeah.
It was like they moved everything out in the hallway and like six guys slept on just mattresses on the floor in this
and
one
the smell. Oh. I remember
teenage boys.
You and I, this was right after I had started helping out with the youth ministry program again. You and I were sitting in the hallway in on our chairs and it's just super quiet. You know, we're listening as everyone's falling asleep. And I just remember it like it was yesterday, and we're talking back and forth just like this.
Yeah.
And then a door down at the end of the hallway all of a sudden opens up, and Ian Scott comes walking out, and he's got a mattress under his arm. He comes walking out, stops, looks at us, sees us staring at him, and we go, what are you doing? He goes, nothing, drops a mattress, turns around, picks it back up, and walks back in the room. He still found his way across the hall later on. Yeah, yeah.
So funny.
Like, all right, you guys are spraying in here.
So funny. But no, it's just, you know, winter retreat over the years has always been like that thing that has brought people together. And that's why even as a youth minister in Bloomfield now, I still had a couple of kids go last year. I'm going to open it up to them. I have youth group coming up this weekend, and I'm going to pitch it to the kids that come to youth group because it's an important experience, I think. So it's just, I don't know, it's just great to even just reminisce about the stories of old. And those of you who watch and listen and follow our program, if you have memories of winter retreats past, email them in, steve@baconsmiles.org. Yeah. You can comment on this video if you're watching on Facebook Live. You can Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those things. Just hit us up. Let us know what your memory is, your favorite memory from winter retreats past. Cause it's
Do you
just,
have a favorite memory?
So I would... There's so many. So as a teenager, I would probably say my favorite memory of being youth was probably mattress sledding at Channel 3 Country Camp.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
As an adult, just the prayer experiences, I can't even narrow it down to one. But the sheer amount of times where I have said, God, I am not worthy of these moments. Sitting in a church in adoration with these 50 young people. Like, just these moments where I'm just like, God, like, how did you choose me? How am I worthy of this moment, which is perfect? Thank you, Buster.
Adding his 2 cents.
You know, like, just like that like that awesome moment where you just feel God's presence, you know? And so that, all of those, I can't pick one. There's so many, and the prayer experiences and the sharing and the affirmation activities and stuff like that, just to see just how awesome it is. And I agree, the ice at Trinity a few years ago.
Jackie commenting on Facebook Live.
But yeah, so that's winter retreats. What do you got for music?
So for music, it's kind of quiet right now with the releases, but coming up this Friday, Switchfoot is coming back with their first release in a while. It's Native Tongue. If you're into gospel music, Wow Gospel 2019 is coming out as well. And then coming out January 25th, Stephen Malcolm, if you're into Christian hip-hop, has a project coming out called The Second City. And that'll be on January 25th.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Short little list.
Yeah, like, you know, it. Gospel music, rock music, and hip-hop.
That's okay. We went a little long in our opening segments.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, good stuff to talk about.
All right, so St. Berard and Companions are Saint of the Day. So they were some of the first Franciscans who... That's fun to say.
Francisco.
Francisco.
That's fun to say.
Francisco. So they were going to Morocco, which was under Muslim rule, to spread Christianity, which did not go well. It did not go over well. They were immediately asked to leave and did not. They went out into a public square and began preaching and spreading the good word, and they were immediately arrested and ordered to be executed. They were given the chance to denounce their faith and, you know, say that they don't believe anymore.
Mm.
They refused and were relieved of their heads.
Oh!
So... just the true and ultimate sacrifice for the faith that martyrdom is, you know?
Yeah.
So they gave the ultimate sacrifice, and they were executed for it. But they never gave up faith. Mm-hmm. And they knew that going to that area, and when they were told to leave and didn't, they knew what they were facing, and they still felt called to do what they were called to do, and so they were martyred for it. And so that's our saint of the day, saints of the day, Saint Berard and Companions, were martyred in Morocco. So we're gonna go to our readings. As soon as I get busted, get in your bed. Go. Sorry, everybody.
So this is Mark, right? Book of Mark.
Yep. Huh. Apologize. But my phone just
Mark
died.
1, 40 through 45.
Okay. You're gonna have to do it this way.
There you go. We will pray for Buster as you read.
All right. A leper came to him and, kneeling down, begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched the leper, and said to him, "I do will it, be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. Then he said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed, that will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in the deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I love this reading. I am... Buster, stop it. So it's just it's just amazing on all level, on all levels. So it's one of Jesus' miracles where he just miraculously heals this guy from leprosy. And he immediately tells him, okay, don't tell anyone anything. Mm-hmm. Just go and be proof just by how you're healed. So he immediately tells everyone, yeah, you got it. Hey, take a look. Look at us.
Everybody. So, my skin's not falling off.
So he just can't contain himself. And that's where it's like, honestly, if Jesus came to you and said, hey, don't tell anybody, but yeah, I'm Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to believe it.
Yeah.
So he just immediately goes off, can't contain himself. And then Jesus can't go anywhere anymore because people know it's mm-hmm. him. And so it's just like that. Would you be able to not say anything? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that if I got healed of this drastic disease, I would tell everyone.
Yeah.
You know? I would too. You know, so it's just that, like, of course he told everyone.
Right.
So, I mean, he immediately goes out and tells everyone, and now Jesus is like, I gotta hang out in deserted places, because, right. But people still found him. How about that? He's only hanging out in deserted places, but people still found him, because he's Jesus, and people mm-hmm. know, like, you gotta find this guy. Mm-hmm. So, it's just one of those stories where it's just like, yeah, that's, of course this guy went out right. and told everyone. And, you know, Jesus wanted it to just be like, let the fact that you're healed be proof enough.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Yeah.
That no. man right there. Yeah, exactly. So, it's an awesome reading. And yeah. I just love the story.
Mm-hmm. So, that's awesome.
What do you got for News of the Weird?
News of the Weird. So this is coming from Japan. It is the world's first robot hotel.
A robot hotel.
And it actually landed itself in the book of Guinness Book of World Records because of it being the first robot hotel in Japan. It's called the Henna Hotel. And they've had to lay off a bunch of their Android staff because they were annoying the guests.
Oh.
So I guess the front desk had a regular woman robot. And then they were saying, well, that's not weird enough. We also have to have a T-Rex receptionist robot.
Oh, good.
So, and then they had all these hundreds of robots that would work in the different places in the hotel. But apparently they're more limited than Alexa or Siri.
Yeah.
So when people were snoring in the night, the robots would wake them up thinking that the snoring was commands and say, sorry, we couldn't understand that. What can I do for you? And another problem was out of 100 rooms, only 24 of the rooms were accessible by the robots that were bringing in the luggage.
Yeah.
The robots couldn't help figure out flight schedules and help copy passports. So actual yeah. humans were yeah. needed for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the amount of time that humans were actually working on the robots, the hotel
was a lot.
Well, maybe this is not worth it.
That's funny. That's hysterical. But that music means it's time to wrap up this episode of the Bacon Smiles podcast. As always, we want to hear from you guys. Like I said, shout out your favorite winter retreat memories mm. from years gone by. If there's anything else out there, you know, youth ministry-wise, feel free to shoot it out at us, topics, whatever. But as always, I just feel amazingly blessed that you guys take the time out to listen and follow along with our podcast. Do you got anything?
No, have a great week and God bless.
Yeah. Thanks for watching, listening. Yeah. Keep smiling and God bless.